With the education of the miseducated system. How are you doing today? Today is Tuesday, the 15th of September. It's the middle of the month. It seemed like we just started this month the other day, which we did. So today, I'm on today, and we're going to be having a guest, and I'm hoping that he's going to be on real soon. So this young man that I'm going to be talking to today, he's the author of some books that Empress T had sent to me the other day. So we're going to be talking about that. And we're going to talk about some of the things that his inspiration for these books, because I'm purchasing books. I'm purchasing things. I have a grandbaby now. And I love when he comes over. He plays my djembe and my musical instruments and pulled my books out, so I have buying books for him. And he loves his mom's and dad's cell phone, and so eventually some of these books would be on Kindle, so we could be able to Amazon Kindle, and we'd be able to sit back with him and show him a more positive way to use the phone, and maybe he'd learn to read by doing this. Okay, I want to tell you today that you're listening to Dynasty Radio 1382, the revolutionary radio for revolutionary people. Once again, my name is Paula Massey, and you're listening to the Education of the Miseducated System. This is a live call-in show, and if you want to talk to me, leave a message, have a comment. You can do so by dialing 646-716-7572. Press the number 1, and we will put you in queue. Okay. I'm going to just talk a little bit about some of the things we talked about last week in our when we were talking, and some of the things that I posted on the page so you guys could get some of the information that I'm talking about. We were talking about the IEPs last week, and I hope that the information that I gave you was very helpful and in getting your child the help that they need, or knowing what help is available to them, and also knowing what your role as a parent is when the school recommends these IEPs, individual educational plans, and how you can go about getting these plans. Basically, one thing that it really stuck out in my mind is that there is a least restrictive area where your child can learn, and they have to look at the LEAS-EA. So least restrictive area. So wherever your child is going to perform their IEP or get the instruction for their IEP, it has to be in the least restrictive place, meaning there are no boundaries. There's nothing that is causing your child to miss out or not able to do what that IEP tells them that they're able to do. And one thing that I loved about it is because your child can learn at home. If your home is least restrictive environment. All these letters just get me messed up, all these alphabet. But if you're a teacher, you just can rumble them off. So basically, the least restrictive environment. So don't think that just because the teachers in the school, if your child is still in the public school and they say that they need an IEP, you know, if that's what you feel like, you know, that you want to be a part of, go ahead, but just know your rules. And the little chart that I put up here and even the website that I put up last week on September 8th, make sure you pull that information up, print that information out so you know what's happening, and then make your move, whatever your move is, whether it's going to be that I'm going to put my child in a private school, I'm going to put them in an Afrocentric school, or I'm going to educate them at home. Thank you for that information. I'll take it from here. Basically, that's what you could say. So anyway, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the books that I've been ordering. And it's also, it's good to talk about these things because there's so much curriculum out there that, you know, we can be twisted and tossed and about what it is that we need to purchase for our children. And I just want to make sure that you're getting the right curriculum, especially if you want to teach your children about their culture. Okay. Brother Kamari from Kamali Academy, he had some books out. And one of the books was, oh, man, I tell you, brother has this curriculum, and I ordered all of the curriculum. Yes, I did. I ordered all of them. And when you go online, there is a code that you can put in, and you'll get a discount. And I want to thank him for that. Once again, I'm thanking you, brother, if you're listening, for that discount because it saved me a few dollars, and I'm always trying to save something. But this book came with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 books in this curriculum. And it's starting from teaching your children penmanship, how to write the letters, all the way to high school. And the one book that I really liked about it was the book that teaches comprehension. Because, you know, comprehension is just reading, reading a paragraph, reading a book, and then being able to recall what the book was about, answer questions about the book. And then on top of that, what this curriculum does is it tells you to think about it, write about it. And so I'm looking at that, and I'm saying, wow, this is really neat because it gives the children an opportunity to write about, give their thoughts, critical thinking about what they're thinking about. And we know that that's what Common Core is all about, the critical thinking thing. So, brother, you have it all together on that in that curriculum, and I really appreciate that. The one also thing about his book, Samori Kamara, is that when he has a book, and it's called Cultivating Warriors. And this is the Afrocentric, African-centered curriculum. And it's basically a book to those who are going to be teaching. And this book is how many pages? 55 pages. And basically, you don't have to guess on this book. You don't have to guess on none of this curriculum. Basically, it goes all the way to 12th grade, and it tells you what you should be teaching, how often you should be teaching, and it does use other books that you could purchase to go along with this. It has a big library, and it tells you some of the things that you could get. Like, and some of these things are in the you could buy a book, you could get them online, Amazon, or you can go online, watch it on YouTube, or, you know, get it from the library, like The Song of Solomon by Toni Morrison, Marcus Garvey, Message to the People, The Spook Who Sat by the Door. You can see that on YouTube. The Miseducation of the Negro, you can buy that online. And the Norton Anthology of African American Literature. So this is a raisin in the sun, and you could get that. So there's a lot of things that you could do. And he tells you how many, if you're a senior, if you're doing a project, how many hours a week should you be putting toward this project that you'll be doing. So I really, really like what he's doing. And it has the critical thinking aspect in this curriculum. Let's look at this very, for sixth grade, it tells you, it gives you a sample schedule about what you're going to do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Math, you're going to do four times a week. Reading, four times a week. Writing, and it's going to tell you exactly what to do. And you can go online and pull up stuff. So it's nothing that you have to recreate. It's all here for you. And I want to thank Brother Kamara for that book. Okay, let's see. So right now, I'm going to go ahead and start talking about this other curriculum. Oh, I do know. Before I do that, I want to talk about something else. And then I'm going to go into this new curriculum that I just purchased. Okay. Okay. So this other curriculum that I'm talking, we're going to talk about that, but last week I also talked about, and the week before, that a program that the high school that I'm working with is putting together, and it's called Restorative Justice, but they have another name for it. And I want to be able to put this online also. And they're doing it with the Oakland, California youth, and that's basically what it's saying, is that instead of your child getting in trouble, going to juvenile hall for the things that they've done, they're going to meet with their victim, the victim's family. And they come in face to face. It's like their own little courthouse. And that's what's going to happen. What they're going to have to do is they're going to have that family or that victim will tell this juvenile, this is what you've done to my family. This is what you've done. Because a lot of times our young people, when they commit crimes or they do things, they're just doing it. They don't see the ripple effect. Matter of fact, our young people a lot of times don't see the ripple effect of a lot of things that they do. So basically, you know, this is a good way for them to see the ripple effect. But what we're doing in the school is that they're seeing the ripple effect when they're working with their peers, fighting or whatever, you know, doing something. So they have their own little court system. So I'm going to put this on here and, you know, give me your thoughts on it, whether you like it or not, what you think about it. I think it was a pretty good system. I hate to see how young people go to juvenile hall and then go to community school and then go to prison, then go to jail and then go to prison. So basically here we are today, and I see my friend is on, Dinesh Amar, he's on. Look like he's getting ready to come on. Okay. Yes. Okay, look like he's on today. Brother, are you there? Okay, he'll be on in a little bit. But I'm going to talk to you a little bit about his books, and I want to thank Queen Empress T for posting this. She posted it on my site last week about these books and told me to check it out, and anybody who's watching to check it out. And I went and I looked at the books, and I'm going to get some of the titles of the books. Okay. And I want this brother, when he comes in, I want him to tell me a little bit about the books, what they're about, and how we can purchase them, and his thought process, his passion, or what moved him to write these books, okay? So the first book that I got was The Meaning of Hotep, and it's a Nubian study guide. And so I don't think he wrote this one, but No, he didn't write this one, but I did order that one. Let's go to the one he wrote. Anansi brings story to the world, children's fables from West Africa, okay? And then another one called The Sun Loves Me. And then he has a one, the Amani's Third Eye. It's a children's story on manifestation through meditation. Also, it's Libation Time. It's a children's guide to the ancestors. And this is the one I really like, From Zulu, Mary McLeod Bethune, to Timbuktu, Black History Facts from Around the Globe. And this is something that we all really need to have on our show. So let me see what's going on. He's here, but we can't hear him yet.
Yeah, can you hear me? So, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
I can hear you now.
Okay, I was getting nervous.
You were getting nervous. Don't need to get nervous. I was getting nervous for both of us, so don't worry about that. How are you doing today, my brother?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I am doing well. This is my guest today, and can you tell him your name? And just give me a little bio of who you are and what you do.
Let's see here. Name is Dinis Demir. I'm a traveler, pan-Africanist, writer, a little bit of everything.
Did you say rioter?
No, writer. Writer.
Oh, okay.
Not writer.
Okay. Okay. And so you're a traveler.
Correct.
And where do you travel?
I go to Africa every year. I mean, we have to encourage our people to get over to the motherland. You know, instead of going to Europe and, you know, Dominican Republic and Argentina, you know, let's get to Africa. So I travel throughout Africa every year for about a month towards November, December. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is that a trip by yourself, or do you travel with a group of people?
Well, no, I travel by myself. The problem is trying to, and this is even our conscious people. Like, in my experience, conscious people are scared of Africa. I don't know why. They are. So I usually go by myself. So usually either people's misconception that they're tied by the media keeping them from going, or sometimes it's a financial issue, which I understand, which I'm actually working on a project where we could fund, journey home situations for Black people that are serious about going to Africa. So I've been going by myself. I mean, for the most part, I have family in Africa, but usually when I leave America, I'm by myself.
Wow, that's great. That's great. So you're down on the ground with the people. You're not doing all these tour places only one of the cities. Yeah, you're down on the ground. You're in the villages. You're there with the people.
Exactly. It's funny you said that. I actually just shot another video that I'm going to put on YouTube, and it's travel tips for Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my tips specifically was, when you go to Africa, don't do westernized shit. Like, don't be a Westerner and go to the mall and, you know, hang out at a resort. Like, go to the villages, enjoy the African people, and enjoy the indigenous way of life. So, yeah, I don't go to Africa and hang out at the Hilton Hotel and go to the beach, like the village.
Right. Well, that's wonderful, wonderful. Well, today, the reason why I have you here, because I ordered your books, okay?
Okay.
And we're going to talk about that, because one of the things that I did, and I'm just going to put this out there because I want people to order, but I want them to get what they order. And I ordered all of them, but only one of your books came through Amazon, so I got to contact Amazon to find out, what's going on? Why can't I get these books? But the one that I got is the Amani's Third Eye. No. So the one I got was From Zulu, Mary McLeod Bethune to Timbuktu. Tell me a little bit about these books, and then we'll discuss later on about how we can purchase them in other places.
Okay.
Tell me about the one.
The one you just mentioned, From the Zulu, Mary McLeod Bethune to Timbuktu. Basically, it's just a compilation of African achievements that we've done worldwide. That's why the title. Mm-hmm. That's why you have that title. So of course you have Shaka Zulu, who united all of the tribes, or the majority of the tribes, in what is known as South Africa,
mm-hmm.
and they're now referred to as the Zulu. Then you have Mary McClure Bethune, who was a civil rights activist. And if you know Bethune-Cookman, the university in Florida.
Yeah, Jacksonville, my hometown, yeah.
So she, you know, she founded that. And then you have Timbuktu, mm-hmm. which at one time was the pretty much a learning center of the planet. I mean, everybody
exactly.
from the across the world, across the planet, came to Timbuktu. And it's one of the first major universities ever that existed. So I want really our children to know just what we've accomplished and what we've brought to this planet, our mm-hmm. great feat. So that's why I wrote that book.
Okay. Let's go to the libation time.
Yes.
It's libation time.
It's libation time, A Children's Guide to the Ancestors. So
mm-hmm.
I wrote this book, and what it does, it gives the names of the Orishas and their attributes.
Orishas,
so,
what's that?
Basically, the Yoruba in Nigeria, the Nigerian gods.
Okay.
Right. So, and also it gives their attributes. And the idea behind this particular book is that these attributes, these Orishas, are also the attributes of you and all of us. So when you call
mm-hmm.
these attributes in the form of libation, you're actually waking up these attributes that are dormant inside of you. I wrote that particular book.
Wow, that's really neat. Okay. Because usually when we think about libations, we think about, you know, I think about a ceremony where somebody's standing up with a cup of water or whatever,
right.
and they have a live plant there, and they call out our ancestors, or even people
yeah.
call out their own personal ancestors. They can't, a lot of times they can't go back but to grandma
right.
because that's
exactly.
all they know. But sometimes you'll have some of those that'll go back to our actual ancestors from Africa, ancient Egypt, from Kemet. And then they'll pull out the whatever it is they have in their cup and say Ashe. So, yeah. So this is really good because this is giving them a guide to all of the a lot of the ancestors from, back in the day. Yeah. So this gives them a little history about who those ancestors are, right?
Correct. So basically, within the book, you have the name of the specific Orisha, and then you have their attributes. And
mm-hmm.
you know how that pertains to you, and how you.
So
fit.
When you say that their particular attribute, what are you saying? Talk to me. What is that? What does that look like?
Like for example, say you have, like for me, I call on people that are. People that have passed are African gods that I'm close with. And they're not necessarily, don't even have to be gods. They could be figures
mm-hmm.
in the past that have lived. So I'll call on,
mm-hmm.
for example, I'll call on Mansa Musa.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'll pour a libation calling on Mansa Musa and just asking that, you know, the wealth that he had may be passed on to me and my family and our people. Or if I'm in a warrior spirit, I'll call on the great Mati out of the Sudan,
mm-hmm.
Muhammad Akma. So when it's time for me to have a warrior spirit, I'll call on that spirit that is inside of me because we're all connected.
Yeah.
So,
you know, that is so great. That is wonderful because, you know, it gives us our children an opportunity to learn about, like you said, the characters and what it is that we want them to learn. What we want them to learn, because I know that in public school, they do this thing called character building, character training, and they're talking about, you know, respect and all of the, these eight, just I think it's 8 or 10 character traits that they have, and they're teaching those character traits, but there's nothing really connected to that. But I like how you said when you're calling on that war, when you need that warrior spirit, you got somebody that you can call on, and our children can learn about that person that you're calling on. So you have a connection there. That's a great. That's a great. Let's look at. I mean, I love these books. I love the coloring, and I love the title of them.
Let me give a shout out to my illustrator, Yashar Clemens, the best illustrator on the planet. Let me shout him out for the as far as illustrations go, because I wouldn't have a book at all if it wasn't for illustrations. So I definitely got to shout him out.
Wow, that's great. And you know, when I talked to you before, I asked you about his last name because that's my maiden name. And you don't see too many people with that last name, Clemens. But that's neat. Okay. My family lived in Georgia.
Okay. I'm in Georgia right now. Atlanta.
Oh, wow. Great. Let's look at Anansi brings stories to the world. Okay.
Right, so
the children's fables. Yeah.
Right. So basically, Anansi is a character. He comes from a number of African fables. And I know that much carried on, and they're very popular in Jamaica as well. So I just took a number of his stories and fables and just made it into a book. It's just a compilation of children's fables that deal with the Nazi. And, you know, there's a lesson to learn after each story. So that is a compilation of his fables that are popular in West Africa and in Jamaica.
Wow, that's great. And The Sun Loves Me.
Yes. So The Sun Loves Me was actually my first children's book. And the, I guess what inspired me to write this book, I know there are a lot of, I mean, just living in a system where I guess white is good and black is bad. A lot of our children are insecure about their skin color. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one thing I was taught was the reason why my color is darker is because the sun loves us, because we absorb that sun. And, you know, we rarely get sunburn. You know, we can live under the sun. That's why we're the people of the sun. And that's what makes us unique. You know, no one else could tolerate the sun the way we do.
Right.
That's why we were created with, that's why we have melanin. So,
and you know what? You're absolutely right. And that's something so important for our children to learn, that we are people of the sun. And, you know, there's a lot of products out there. And I experienced this with a friend of mine that was having freckles. And she was wondering why she's coming up with these dark spots on her face. And it was just, being in the sun, when it's sun, you know, it's hot out there and she's standing in the sun at the school. You know, they get darker and darker. Well, that's just who you are. And I remember her going to somebody, a dermatologist, and they were giving her all this stuff. And so I began reading what this stuff was and just kind of researching. And a lot of this stuff was lightening, to lighten up stuff. And we don't need that. We don't need a lot of things that are lightening. And then there's the stuff that they were talking about, pulling the impurities out of your body, by soaking your feet in this concoction that these people had. And it was like drawing the melanin or something out of your body. And I'm like, oh, no, we don't really need that. Yeah. So are you still there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, yeah. So there's things that our kids, that we need to tell our young people, even our little babies and plus our teenagers, because they're going through this identity crisis as far as their skin color. You know, they doing the hair, and now they got to be lighter. And I noticed the other day I was at one of the high schools, and the cheerleader squad, everybody got to look alike. Everybody got to look alike. I mean, you got to have the long ponytail. You got to have, you know, the same outfit on, the same body shape almost. And that's just not who we are. So I think it's important that we have this year, and then we deal with the young people who are mulattoes, they're biracial, And, you know, I remember hearing a young girl, high school girl, say, well, I don't want to go to the sun because I don't want to get dark. Well, baby, that's just who you are. I'm sorry. And you're going to do that. Be grateful for the melanin that you have in your system.
Right. And then also, too, there's in Africa, there's a skin bleaching epidemic.
Yeah.
As far as other one in this, you know, bleached your skin. So,
mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's just a lot of self-hate that was just brought on, you know, part of colonialism that we have to just,
mm-hmm.
I guess, we re-brainwash ourselves and really accept and love who we truly are.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And
yeah.
It starts at a young age. That's why I wrote these books. So we can start indoctrinating our children, because I mean they're the future. So the last thing we want is a bunch of insecure kids growing up, another generation of that. You know, that's going to set us back. So it starts now.
Oh, it starts right. It stops and then it starts because you know there's been a gap where our children haven't been able to get that information. And a lot of times, I'm looking at myself, I wasn't taught this. My parents didn't sit me down and talk to me about who I was as a person. All I knew was I was light-skinned and had very nappy hair. And it couldn't grow. It didn't grow. I don't care what you could put in there, straighten it, put relaxers in it, whatever you wanted to do, pin hair pieces onto it. My hair is that curly, curly, tight hair. And when I started locking my hair up, that's when my hair started growing. When I kept it in its natural state, allow it to be in its natural state, then it started growing. I want to ask you a question, brother. In writing these books,
yes.
The Sun Loves Me was your first book that you wrote.
Well, actually, it's my first children's book. The first book that I wrote was a sales book called Sales Motivation 101, Get Off Your Ass and Cold Call. But The Sun Loves Me was my first children's book that I wrote.
Okay. And so what made you change from writing like sales books or business books all the way to children's books? What was it that caused you to transition?
I would say this. I was just guided. I mean, there was really no science behind it. I just literally I woke up one day and said, I want to write a children's book. So so this is how it happened. Let me tell you about the power of attention. So woke up, said, I want to write a children's book. The first, I guess, hurdle that I had to jump over was, where do I find a illustrator? So my coworker told me of a young man in high school that he wanted me to mentor. So I go, I meet the young man, Yashar Clemens, at his high school in California. I believe he went to Morningside in Inglewood. And so we're talking, and then I promise you, he says he's an artist. I'm like, really, you're an artist? And I tell him, like, I wanna write a children's book. And he said, you know what, I got your illustration. So that's how we connected. And then I've been cranking them out ever since. But I'm going to move. My last children's book was Kinky Hair is Queenly Hair.
Yeah.
So I'm actually, that's probably going to be my last children's book for a while. And I'm going to move back into more self-help, self-development books. So that's my plan.
So so right now I noticed that, let's look at this other book. We got The Sun Loves Me. Amani's Third Eye. Amina.
Yes.
Amina's Third Eye. Yeah, Amina.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that one.
So that book, Amina, she's growing up in a pretty rough community. So she wanted to change her surroundings and change her community from a bad one to a positive one. So what she did, she went into deep meditation, and she got in contact with every great female deity or queen that ever lived. So she got in contact spiritually with Makeda, the Queen of Sheba. She got in contact with Pi, which is a great queen out of Nubia. So as she's getting in contact with the queen, they're telling her what to do because they've led before. So they're saying, Amina, do this, you know, do that. And then she implements that, and she changes the fate of her community from a bad one to a great one.
Oh, wow, that's great. That's great. Well, you know what? You have quite a few books here, and boy, I wish you could continue to write them. But let's talk about how these books can be purchased. So how do we purchase your books?
Well, all you have to do is go on Amazon. I don't know what the, I guess what the hiccup is right now, but you go on Amazon. And then I think a lot of confusion is people, they're under the impression that you have to have a Kindle to read Kindle's books, read Kindle books. Actually, you can download a free reader online, and you can read it on any device, either your iPad, your phone, Droid, iPhone, your laptop, your desktop. You don't need a Kindle to read Kindle books. So you
just download a free, and I did that. It's you can put it on all of your, you can put it on your laptop, you can put it on your desktop or your phone, And I have it on my my Windows phone, so, yeah, that's a good thing, yeah. And these books are very, very inexpensive. I mean, I looked at this and said, let me see, where is the one? Let me go back to that page where I was, where I could have, oh, here it is right here. $1.99 for a children's book. There's like $1.99, 99 cents. Man, you can't beat that. You cannot beat that for the knowledge that we can share with our children. And whether you're going or you're driving somewhere and they have a phone, download it or order these books and download them to your children's phone or their tablet, whatever it is that they're using, and that way they'll be able to get some information and some knowledge. So totally together, you've rewritten how many books?
Let me. I got to count them.
You've written quite a few. You got to count that long. You've written quite a few.
Right now, as far as my own books that I've written, and that I didn't, gather information from other sources and put together or re-release. Let's see here.
Wow. So I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being on the show. Excuse me, go ahead.
I'm going to say seven books.
Seven books?
I have more on here, but the actual compilations, I really don't count. But as far as for me, myself, writing, I say seven books.
Seven books, okay. And so you're going to go back to writing self-help books and stuff, and can those books be purchased online also? Will they be able to be purchased online?
They'll be on Amazon, on Kindle, yes.
So are you ever thinking about taking any of these books and making them hard books where actually people could actually have them and put them in their personal library instead of having them on their electronic device?
In the future, I will. It's just the way I'm going about it now is more cost effective.
Okay.
But in the future, yes, they will be able to print.
And these books, are available because they're online. They're available all over the world. Is that correct? And wherever you can get Amazon at, you could download these books. Is that correct?
All over the planet, exactly.
That's great. And I think that's one way to get it out there instead of just having it in a brick-and-mortar store in one area, and then you can't get, because every store is not all over the place. But I thank you for having these books, and I'm going to be getting with Amazon so we can help try to get that glitch out of there, because if I ordered all of them, I want all of my books because they're all great. And I was this weekend I was reading the from the Zulu Merrick McLeod Bethune to Timbuktu. So I was just reading that because that was one of the books that came through. So I appreciate all the things, and they're not that big. They're nice sized books to read, and there's a lot of information, and it is easy to read. So I want to thank you for that, making it easy for us to read. Somebody said, if you want to hide something from any of us, put it in the book because we're not going to read it. But I beg the difference. We are reading now. We are reading for knowledge, and we want to inform ourselves and inform our babies about what's going on in this world and who they are. But I want to thank you, my brother, for being here. And, you know, my audience is a homeschool audience. These are parents, these are caregivers that really work with children who are in the home. They teach them at home. Sometimes they still go to public school. But I always advocate for them to do something more. Don't just sit in the school, come home. Do something at your home. Do something in your community with this. And I want to tell you, this is a great book. This is a great way to have these. Most of our children have some type of electronic device that they talk on. So this is a good way to have it. And then bring these books together at parent meetings, whatever you're doing, and review these books and say, okay, yeah, we're going to talk about this. We're going to have this. This is going to be, my children are going to read these books, and then we're going to come back and do some type of discussion with that. And I appreciate you for that.
No, thank you for the opportunity. You know, please support, purchase the books. They're very affordable. You know, I just want people to have the opportunity to get the information. I think, you know, I understand. Oh, sorry about that. Stop.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Can you still?
I got you.
Hold on.
I hear you.
I came on. Okay, sorry about that.
That's fine.
Okay, I'm back. Yeah, so I just want people to have the opportunity to purchase the books. That's why they're so affordable. I think a lot of times in the conscious community, we sometimes overprice items. But, again, we have families to feed and bills to pay, so I'm not mad. But, again, support. The books are 99 cents in most cases, which I think is a steal, and especially for the information that you're getting. And I know I hear a lot of parents complaining about the public school system. So, you know, I'm off, you know, a very affordable resource to, you know.
It is a very affordable resource. You know what? I have a friend that is a videographer, and I know she sometimes takes things and I'm not sure whether she could take a book like this and post it up on a screen. She has all her equipment. Maybe she could kind of put it to a screen or put it to the phone or whatever device we're looking at, or laptop, and project it onto a screen. That way we could have the youth looking at it while we're discussing these books. Yeah. I mean, it's a teaching tool. And, you know, you made a comment that, you know, sometimes in the conscious community, when we're putting things out, we seem to overprice it. But I've learned this. When you make it affordable for people to buy your stuff, then they will buy it. When it's too expensive, they're going to go down to the department. They're going to go down to Walmart, Target, or wherever they can go, Big Lots, and they're going to get what they got to get there because they can't really afford yours, even though they want it. I sometimes try to push past that. If you got what I want, I'm going to go ahead and support that. I may make a little comment to you about, can you just, if you lower the prices, maybe more people will come and purchase it, and then you don't have to worry about, I'm not making more money. Now you're making money because now you're getting the sales. But a lot of times, like you said, we don't get the sales, and we can't afford to take care of our families because our product is too high. So,
right.
You know,
and then also,
go ahead.
And then I was sorry to cut you off. Also, too, because I hear a lot of people, or the feedback I've been getting is, you know, Adonis, your book isn't in a print version, so, you know, we're not going to buy it. Don't allow that to keep you from buying the information. I think you just gave a great suggestion as far as, you know, if you have a mobile device, all you have to do is buy a projector. They have these USB projectors now where you connect a projector via USB to your laptop or iPad or even phone. And that's and that's a perfect way to share to share the books with your family. No, don't allow, I mean, buy the book, basically, even though it's hard.
And you know, and you, buy the book. Just buy the book. Because you just said it's a time that you can share it with your family. And family, you know, I always talk about going over to the school district, going to their warehouses. The projectors that we have and the screens that we've had, our county has a county warehouse, and they house all of these things in there that they're not – there's a surplus. And sometimes you can get things for $2 or $3. You can get a nice screen for $5, whatever you need to do. Stick it up in the corner, fold it up like, you know, pull it down, set it up, have your, or show it onto your big screen TV, whatever you need to do. But check with local places. Check with your school district and see when are they having their sale. Because they got to sell this stuff. They can't throw it away. They got to recoup some kind of money. And then go to your county warehouse warehouses and find out when do they have their sales. Well, we have one in our little town that's free. Every time I need something, I could just go in there because I get it for my organization. And I said, I need this. And they said, well, come on down this day. And we load it up. No problem. So get what you can get. This is very inexpensive. The books are very inexpensive. You're not going to spend over $30 for all of these books here. And just do this. Let's support this brother. And I want to thank you. And I'm looking to get more of these books in as I get the kinks out of my what I'm doing here so I can just share it with my grandson. And I want to thank you for all of your help. And you have a wonderful, wonderful evening, brother.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on.
Okay. Take care. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Family, once again, I want to thank our guests for coming in. And like you said, don't let anything hinder us from purchasing these books. Just the idea that he wanted to share knowledge with our young people. He went from writing self-help books to children's books, because this is what he wanted to, and they're beautiful books. We have a young lady, Empress T, who is an author, and she's also a publisher. And say, for instance, you wanted to write a book. You wanted to share some of your knowledge. You know, don't hesitate to go to Dynasty Network, www.dynastynetwork, and download or whatever you need to do, contact her, and see what it's going to take for you to get a book published. I mean, she does a beautiful job. So there's opportunities there for if you want to write a book, if you have something that you want to share, if you have something in homeschooling that you want to share and you want to put it in a book, contact her so you can see what it's going to take to get this done. I want to thank that brother, and I want to also thank Brother Kamari, and I'm also looking for other people that can share with us so we can build up our libraries. There's nothing wrong with some of the books that our children read at school. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with them. There's anything wrong with them. But you want to also be able to have books about children that look like you. And I shared with you last week how one of my friends, she works at the school, and she was coming home with these books that the school was getting rid of. And they were all African. They were all books about our black people, about our inventors, about our people who look like us. Stories about children who look like us, and that's what our children need. I had a meeting last night with our Black Student Union, and we had a speaker from our Fresno area. She started a Black Student Union about 8 years ago at a predominantly white school. She had quite a few kids that joined and parents that were involved. And she made this statement that our children do better when they're taught by people who look like them and their materials look like them. And that's something that we have to really realize. Your child will probably pick up a book with a picture of a little girl or a little boy or a sports figure that look like them than somebody who don't look like them, because they want to know about that person's life. What kind of struggles did that person have? Because I'm going through a whole lot of struggles. I know that's what I do. I pick up a book in a heartbeat. I picked up a book at the library, and I've always said, go to the library. They have all of these books cheap. You don't have to pay for them. I mean, you pay a dollar. I paid a dollar for a nice-sized book. And the reason why I picked the book, because it said school, and that was the title of the book. It just said school. And on the front of the page, on the front of the book, it had pictures of kids that looked like me. And I paid $1 for that book. And I can't wait to just to sit back and relax and just look at the pictures. It's like a picture book. But it reminded me of the schools that I used to go to when I was a little kid, you know, how the classrooms looked and how the children were dressed. And it's a good conversational piece. And that's what we need conversational pieces for our children. We need to have those books where they can go in and they can look at them, and we don't have to say, put that book down, go tear my book up. But these are the books that they need. So don't forget, go on to Amazon. And we're going to post, I'm going to post that, his site, the book that my sister, Empress T, posted. So I'm going to repost that so you can get a chance to go on Amazon.com to pull from that. And I want to thank him because of, like, since Empress T posted that, and we had 198 people that were reached by that post. So I'm hoping that people are going on and purchasing his book. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to give you tools that will make your educational process easier when you're teaching your children, because it's not getting easier in the public school. It is really not getting easier. And I'm learning a whole lot about things that the schools are doing, and they're not informing the parents when it comes time to, like, taking tests and going to college and some of the things that you need to know. But if you're not involved as a parent and you want your children still in that public school, you're going to miss out on a lot of things. You're going to miss out on the money that is available for your child to go to school. Whether you're homeschooling or not, you are in that school district. Whether you're homeschooling or not, if you're homeschooling, you're still in that school district, and you need to find out when they're having the meetings. You need to still go to the city council meetings. You need to still take your children with you. Take them. This is how our city council is run. This is how our county board of supervisors is run. If you're living in an area where, like, you're living in a county, and they might have like 4 or 5 cities, well, you're going to have people that are running that are in those districts. So your county board of supervisors have to have a meeting in each one of those cities. Okay, so you need to go to those and find out how money is being spent that should be spent for you and your children. Okay, so go to those meetings. Go to those site council, even though your child is not a member of that school, they're in that school district, go to the site council meeting of the closest school next to you. Find out what's going on. This is the way you're going to find out what's coming down the pipe as far as homeschooling. You do not want to not know what's going on and how they may flip the script on you, okay? You don't want to not know that information. I'm going to share something with you before we get ready to leave. I was scrolling through the city of Hanford webpage, and I know that we're getting ready to do a Black History program in February and a Dr. Martin Luther King celebration in January. So I know that the city has always been involved in it, so I said, let me see what kind of budget they have, because nobody could give me an answer on what kind of money they got going into this program. So I began scrolling, and I came across this document. Now, it's the Parks and Recreation Department that is usually funds this program. And I saw that they have a plan for 2014, 15, and 16. We're in 2015, and in one of the plans is that they wanted to formulate a youth parks and recreation team, a junior parks and recreation team of young people in the community, so they can find out from the young people, what is it that you want us to do for you in this community? What are the programs that you need? What is it that you want to see happen? And then as I was looking over to the right-hand side, it has a fiscal amount, amount that may it may cost, or what this is going to cost, the use of staff, and the date when they're hoping to get this completed. Well, on the date on the, in the fiscal column, there was no money. It just said use of staff, and then it says to be determined. I'm like, oh, heck no. No, it's not going to be to be determined. It's going to be done, and I want to get some young people together, and we're going to figure this out. So I went to the meeting on yesterday because I wanted to let them know, hey, I've been looking through your stuff, and this is what I found. What are your plans? Have you made any plans yet? And because they didn't have a quorum, they had to cancel the meeting. And now they're going to send, give me a call or send me an email. I just gave my telephone number. Give me a call when this next meeting is going to be. And they said, we'll let the community know. I was like, the community is not going to know. You could have put a, you could have shot a gun in that a rifle with all this buckshot and hot, not hit anybody in that room. The city council with just a few people in there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 people in the audience, and then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So what is that, 15 people? Wow. So parents, I'm saying this to say this. If you want to know what's going on in your community, you want to see some things happening, you want to get some of the things that you need for your young people, you want to find out what facilities that you can use and that you don't have to pay. If you want to do something big for your family or for your community, for your young people, get involved. Go to those meetings once a month. They have the meetings. Some cities have them twice a month, but you want to be there. You want to be at those meetings. And if you can't be at the meetings, you need to go online and see if they archive those meetings, because now they're recording those meetings and you can hear what is being said. That way you could be at the next meeting. And you always have a few minutes at the beginning of these meetings to make a statement, okay? So I wanted to say that we have to get involved. We have to get involved with what's going on with our babies. If we don't, nobody else will. But like I said, we had the young lady that come in, and she was saying, making some statements that were really true about our young people, that our young people are not reading on grade level. They said, oh, your child can read. No, your child can't read if they're not reading on their grade level. What is the 8th grader got reading on the 4th grade level? What is the 12th grader got reading on a 5th grade level? That's not reading. That's not comprehending. Something is terribly wrong. And we as parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles, we need to come on board. We need to sit down. We need to talk to our young people and say, hey, how are you doing in school? How's your report card? What's your grade point average? What's your reading level? We don't need to keep talking about how you did at the game last night. How many touchdowns did you make? How many tackles? How many yards did you run? That's what seems to be most important to us and our children, but that don't need it. Because in the end, that's not going to really help them. Yes, they may be able to get into college, but not many people from college go to play professional football. And I'm telling you what, they're running our kids like little animals so these coaches can get what they need to get so they can make it to their next level. Wake up, family. You know, this is Paula Massey with the Education of the Miseducated System. I want to thank you for listening to me today, and I want to thank you for my guest for being with me and sharing his books. Don't forget to go to Amazon.com and click on one of his books. And I'm going to post it, and it's going to leave a link right to that site. And I'm also going to repost the program that I was telling you earlier about. It's called the Restorative Justice Program. You have a wonderful evening, and I'll be talking to you on next week. Peace out. Just move on.
Dynasty Radio, 1382.